you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves.
Reading from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 5. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to scatter and a time to gather. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 1st, 2025. Happy July. Today and tomorrow's message is packed. So we're going to jump right in with Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church with his topic, Daring to Wait on God, part of the series, Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles. Here's Pastor Rick Warren on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
A few things make us more irritated than having to wait. Would you agree with that? We don't like to wait. Waiting in traffic. Does anybody actually like traffic? Yeah. Waiting in a waiting room. Waiting in a line at Disneyland. We don't like wait. And technology, which has speeded up everything in our world, has made us much more accustomed to things fast. And so technology has actually made us more impatient, far more impatient than, say, a farmer of 100 years ago. And yet, waiting is an important part of life. It's an important part of character development. There are some things that we only learn in waiting that we learn no other way. Would you agree that every child has to learn the difference between no and not yet? They're not the same thing, are they? But an immature child doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. Our inability to wait is the cause of so many problems in our lives. We get in a hurry. Our inability to delay gratification, it is the cause of all debt. It's the cause of all debt. The inability to wait until you can afford it. You buy it on credit, you get in debt. It's why America is in debt. So many social problems, even diseases, come from our inability to delay sexual gratification until marriage. And so many other problems really come from this issue of, I want it, and I want it now. It causes broken hearts. Have you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't? That's the most frustrating of all. When you're in God's waiting room, you can rush your kids, but you can't rush God. And that's frustrating. Some of you right now are waiting on God. You're waiting for God to open a door. You're waiting for God to give you a job opportunity. You're waiting on God for an answer to prayer. You're waiting for clarification. You're waiting for new direction. You're waiting for God to remove a pain or heal a relationship. And you go, I don't get this. I've prayed and nothing's happening and there is a delay. Remember, no is not yet. Why does God delay things when clearly he could answer every prayer instantly? Well, if you had every prayer answered, you'd be a selfish little brat because you'd treat God like a vending machine. God, I need this, pull the trigger, boom, I got it instantly. And God sometimes has to work on you before he works on the solution. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, there at the top of your outline, God does everything just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he's doing. Well, duh. If you did understand everything God was doing, you'd be God. God is God, and I'm not. And so I don't understand what is just right, and I don't always understand what's on time. So today I want us to look at what do you do when you have to wait on God, daring to wait on God. And I want to ask two questions. What do I need to remember when I'm in the waiting room of life? And what do I need to do when I'm in the waiting room of life? Because this is an element of daring faith. Waiting is as much faith as taking the initiative. Waiting can be as much of a matter of trust as it is taking a risk or any of the other things we've looked at over the last 10 weeks. What do you need to remember while you're waiting on God and what do you need to do? Let's look at these. First, let me give you five things you need to remember. And you're going to need these, so write them down. When you have asked God for something and it hasn't come yet, and you're in that delay period where you haven't seen the answer to your prayer, what do? You remember five things. Number one, Remember, there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. And we talked about this in the message on the laws of sowing and reaping. There's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. I have a garden, and when I plant seeds, I plant a seed. I don't go out the next day to expect to see full-grown tomatoes. When I plant carrot seeds, I don't expect to go out the next day to see carrots. There's always a delay between planting and harvesting. There's always a delay between sowing and reaping. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything, and there is a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to plant, and there is a time to harvest. There is a time to scatter, and there is a time to gather. This is simply talking about seasons. You always get the results of what you plant in life in another season, not in the same season. You don't plant and harvest in the same season. Many of you have planted seeds in Daring Faith, financial seeds, seeds of service, seeds of sacrifice. You're not going to have the harvest immediately. You just need to understand that. It comes, but it comes in another season. Write this down. I reap in a different season than I sow. And during that season of waiting, you wait quietly, you wait expectantly, you wait patiently in faith. I remember that there's a natural delay between planting and harvest. So when I put in a request, it's not going to be instantly fulfilled. There is always a delay. Number two, second thing I need to remember is that there is an unseen battle going on. There is an unseen battle going on. There is a spiritual warfare going on in a realm that we don't even understand. We don't see it. We don't feel it. But in the cosmic heavenlies, there is a spiritual war in other dimensions between good and evil, between God and Satan, between angels and demons. And the fact is, you're caught right in the middle. And if you're a child of God, Satan hates you, and he wants to mess you up. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we're not struggling and fighting against human beings, but against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. The rulers and the authorities and the powers of darkness. Now, what happens, what this verse is saying is that when you send up a prayer, there's often a battle on how that's going to be answered. And Satan starts throwing, while you're waiting, while you're in the waiting room, he starts throwing darts at you. The dart of doubt, the dart of discouragement, the dart of disappointment, the dart of delay, the dart of depression. And he starts throwing these darts at you. And he says, we should be aware that he's going to try to get you down. Now, the truth is, we don't really know this much. And the Bible doesn't even tell us that much about the spiritual warfare that's going on behind your prayers. But we do get a glimpse of it in one book of the Bible. It's in the book of Daniel. You may have never even seen this passage in Daniel. But it's the one time in the Bible it shows the spiritual warfare going on behind the answer to the prayers that you have prayed and the things that you're trusting God for in your life. Let me read it to you. It's here on the screen. Daniel chapter 10 says this. Daniel had a vision, and he had a vision of an angel come to him. And the angel says to Daniel in this vision, Daniel, God loves you deeply, and he loves you deeply too. And God has heard your prayers since the very first day you humbled yourself. And let me just say this. When you pray a prayer, God heard the very first one. It's not like he wasn't listening until number 95. God has heard every prayer. He heard your prayer from the very first moment. The angel said, God loves you deeply, and he heard your prayer since the very first day you humbled yourself. And he says, I, the angel, have come in answer to your prayer. But now here's the interesting part. The evil angel prince of this kingdom opposed and blocked me for 21 days. He said, your prayer hadn't been answered for 21 days. He said, I was opposed in this spiritual battle. So Michael, one of the archangels, intervened to fight for me because I had been blocked from coming to you with the answer. Is that the wildest verse you've ever seen? There is a dimension beyond your prayers that we don't even have any more than that in Scripture about it. But the Bible tells us that Daniel had a prayer. It wasn't answered. It wasn't answered. It wasn't answered. He's starting to get discouraged. The angel shows up, says, I'm here to give the answer. We heard it from day one, but we've been in a battle over this. And it was such an intense battle that Michael Archangel had to come down and help me with this battle so I could come and tell you the answer's on its way. I don't know any more about it than that. I just know that this is not as simple as you think it is. So I want you to write this on your outline. A delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. When an answer to prayer is delayed, it doesn't mean it's not going to be answered. There may be some kind of spiritual warfare going on behind it, and you got to keep praying. A delay is not a denial. Number three, the third thing we remember, the first, that there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting, that there's a spiritual delay because of the spiritual warfare that's going on. Number three, there's another reason for delay, and it's this. Remember, God is preparing me for a blessing. God is preparing me for his blessing. When you have an idea and you ask God to do something in your life, God usually has a bigger idea and usually has a better idea, and he's going to have to prepare you to get you ready for a bigger and better answer to your prayer. And he usually has to take some time getting you ready, preparing you. And the first thing God wants to do before he answers your prayer for a job, for a mate, or for a child to get married, whatever your prayer request is, he wants to get you ready, because God's more interested in changing your character than he is in answering your prayer, because your character is what you're going to take to heaven. And here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1. There's wonderful joy ahead. That's the inevitable answers to our prayers. Even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. And this includes the delays. These troubles, circle this, test your faith. The troubles you're going through right now, this is a test. They test your faith so that it is strong and pure, just as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. Some of you are going through the fire right now. Keep going. What do you do when you're going through hell? You keep going. You don't want to stay there. You keep walking. When you're going through the fire, you keep going. He says these troubles are there to test your faith. You might write this down. Waiting is always a test. When you're praying for something in your life and it hasn't happened, and you're in that delay, you're in that time zone, you're in that season between harvest and sowing, waiting is always a test. It tests your character. It tests your trust. It tests your faith. It tests your endurance. It tests all kinds of things in your life. Waiting is a test. In fact, Paul compares waiting in life, waiting on God, when you really want something and it hasn't happened yet, Paul compares it to being pregnant. In Romans chapter 8, he's got a great analogy here. I love it in the Message paraphrase. Romans 8, 24 to 28, Paul says this. Waiting does not diminish us. It doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. What we don't see is what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, just like a pregnant woman. The longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, when we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us. And if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter, because he, the Holy Spirit, prays in us and for us. And he knows far better than we know ourselves. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. And he knows our pregnant condition. And that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is working into something good. That's a powerful passage. Now, he's saying here that it's just like being pregnant. It's just like being expectant. Now, in an expectancy, they don't call it expecting for nothing, do they? Because when a woman has a baby, she's expecting that baby. And he says, this is what it's like to wait on God. You know it's coming. You know it's going to happen. But this is what you got to do. You got to wait. Number four, the fourth thing to remember. I need to remember when I'm in the waiting zone that I'm in good company. I'm in good company while I'm waiting. Millions of saints before you have sat in God's waiting room. You're not alone. In fact, if you're in the waiting room right now, you're waiting on a job, you're waiting on an answer, you're waiting on a prayer, there are a lot of other people sitting around you right now who are in that same situation. Millions of saints have sat in God's waiting room. You're in good company. Hebrews 11 verse 2 says this, people who lived in the past became famous because of their faith. And every one of those people had to wait. Think about Hannah, who had to wait years to have the baby that she was praying that God would give her. Think about Joseph, who God gave him a dream of being a ruler, and he had that vision from a very young childhood age. And he ends up being put in prison for 14 years for a crime he did not commit, falsely accused of rape. And he spends 14 years in a prison and dungeon in Egypt, waiting. God knew exactly where he was. He was preparing. Moses waits 40 years in the wilderness to know his purpose in life, to know his next assignment, to know what he's supposed to do with his life. Abraham waits 100 years before he has Isaac, his first child, through Sarah, the promised child. God had promised him years before. He waits, he's 100 years old. Noah had to wait 120 years before it rained. You think you're in a waiting period? How'd you like to wait 120 years? And the whole time you're building an ark and everybody's coming and say, what's an ark? I said, it's a big boat. Why? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? I said, it never rained up to that point. Can you imagine building an ark in your front yard and how your kids, your teenage kids, are all embarrassed? My dad's a nut, you know? How long has he been working on the boat? 120 years. Why? Because it's going to flood. What's a flood? God waited thousands of years before sending the Messiah. We get in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. Look at this verse on the screen. Hebrews 6 says, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. But the waiting is essential to faith. Number 5, the fifth thing to remember. I remember there's a time delay between planting and harvesting. I remember that there's a spiritual battle going on. I remember that God is preparing me for the answer. I remember that I'm in good company while I'm waiting. And number 5, I remember that God always keeps his promises. That's what you need to remember when you're waiting on God. Because unlike other people, you can count on God to come through. You can count on God to come through because over these 7,000 promises in the Bible that he has made, he's staked his reputation on. So what you do in the waiting room is you don't focus on what you can't do. I don't have the money. I don't have the talent. I don't have the connections. I don't have the opportunity. You don't focus on what you don't have. You focus on what God does have, what God can do. And one of the ways you focus on what God can do is through the promises of God. Promises can help you focus on God and his unlimited abilities instead of you and your limited abilities. The Bible says anything is possible if you have faith. Habakkuk 2, verse 3 says this on the screen. God says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Some of you need to write that verse down on a card and put it up on your refrigerator. God says, my word will come true. You can trust that if I say it, it's going to happen. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. I remember the 13-year battle for land in this church. We started praying for land the first day we started the church. And we prayed. We looked at hundreds of pieces over the next 13 years. And we had one failure after another, and one failure after another, and one failure. And that piece fell through, and that deal fell through, and that deal fell through, and that deal fell through. And a lot of people got discouraged. And a lot of people thought, well, we're never going to get land. But I never felt that way. Why? Because I knew that a delay was not a denial. This piece of land here in Lake Forest was not even on the map when Saddleback Church started. Because there was no such thing as the city of Santa Margarita, and there was no such thing as the city of Foothill Ranch, and nobody had even mapped or partitioned this piece off. There was no Portola Parkway. El Toro Road was a two-lane road. There was no toll road. It was in no man's land. Nobody even knew it. But God, before the foundation of the earth, had planned where Saddleback Church would have its first campus. He knew. And it was just a matter of time. And all of those things where we had the delays and the denials and the dead ends and all those things where we had one defeat after another, God was working on us. And I had said all along, God's much more interested in building disciples than he is in building buildings. And so we went from one service to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6. And I kept going, God, any time now, you know. just soon not have to do 100 services a weekend. God knew, and his timing is perfect. He's never early. He's never late. At the time I decided my words will come true, you can trust what I say. It will be a fact. It may take a long time. Now, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. When you're in the waiting room, that's a good time to memorize scripture. If you're in a waiting room right now, you're waiting on what's next, Lord. You're waiting on a new job. You're waiting on an answer to prayer. You're waiting on a doctor's report. Now's the time to memorize scripture. That's what you remember. What do you do? That's what you remember in the waiting room. There are four things to do. Write these down. Four things to do in the waiting room. And just for fun, I put them in an acrostic just because I know you'd expect me to do that. So W-A-I-T, wait. Four things you need to do when you're in the waiting room of life. The W stands for this. Write down the lessons I'm learning. This is extremely important to the building of your faith. When you're in the waiting room, the first thing you do is write down the lessons that you are learning. Because waiting is always the season to listen. And waiting is always the season to learn. And when you're listening and learning, then you need to write it down. God has some things he wants to teach you before he answers your prayer. God has some things he wants you to learn before that seed that you're planting in Daring Faith sprouts. He wants to teach you some things. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. But you will forget the lessons that you learn in the waiting rooms of life if you don't write them down. And you know what happens when you don't write them down? You forget them. And what happens when you forget them? He has to take you through it again. That's no fun. That's unnecessary pain. Some of you have been through the same pain 8 or 9 times. Why don't you write down the lessons this time? So you don't have to go through it for the 92nd time. You know, Moses led the children out of Egypt across the wilderness to the promised land. It should have only taken, you can walk that distance easily in a few weeks, even with a large crowd. It took them 40 years. What in the world were they doing for 40 years walking around in a circle? God was giving them one test after another saying, will you trust me? There are 7 tests. And every time they'd fail a test, he'd say, another lap around the wilderness. And in that wilderness, they were not there by accident. Waiting in the wilderness has a purpose. Some of you are in the wilderness right now. I want you to write this down. The way to the promised land is through the wilderness. You can't get to the promised land without going through the desert. And you've got to go through that waiting period. You've got to go through that desert. You've got to go through that dry spell. You've got to go through that wilderness waiting in the wilderness for a purpose. The way to the promised land is in through the wilderness. And the lessons that you're learning in the wilderness, please write them down. The Bible tells this to Moses, Numbers 33, verse 2. At the Lord's direction, Moses, notice God commanded him to do this, Moses kept a written record of their progress. Are you keeping a written record of your progress in the Christian life? Are you writing anything down? Keep a journal while you're waiting. And here's what you say, now I'm not talking about, a journal is different than a diary. A diary is about what you do. Today I had a mocha frappuccino. Nobody cares. A journal, you don't write down what you do. A journal is anytime you learn something, you write that down. You write down the lesson. A diary is for events. A journal is for lessons. I have always learned in the waiting periods of life that little lessons lead to big successes. Some of the tiniest lessons I've learned in dry periods, in depressing periods, in discouraging periods, are the keys to big successes in my life. Little lessons lead to big successes. So you write them down. Deuteronomy 11, verse 2 says this, remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with him. As I said, if you don't remember, God has to take you there again, and that's painful. Psalm 119:33 is a good prayer to pray when you're in the wilderness. God, teach me the lessons for living so that I can stay the course, so I don't wander around. Teach me the lessons for living so I can get through this with the minimum amount of time. I don't want to be here for 40 years. I don't want to be going in circles. Teach me the lessons for life so I can stay the course. When you're in the waiting period, you're between jobs, you're between goals, you don't know what's next, you say, teach me, Lord. I want to learn the lessons. That's the W. Write down the lessons that I'm learning. The A in wait stands for this.
The A, the I, and the T we'll look at tomorrow. A, act as though I've already made it. The I, imitate the habits that grow strong faith. And the T, trust God instead of panicking. So much to this lesson, Daring to Wait on God, part of the Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles, by Pastor Rick Warren. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or can't tune in tomorrow, both can be listened to anytime at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.